Today is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was by nature God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to, but emptied himself, taking the nature of a slave, and being made like unto men, and appearing in the form of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God also has exalted him and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. Please stand for the Gospel. This Gospel, brethren, is, if there was, we believe, a theme for this Mass, it is in this Gospel. Will draw all things to myself. And that should be our prayer today, that you please draw my heart, draw me to thy sacred heart. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John chapter 12, verses 31 to 36. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself." Now he said this, signifying by what death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ abides forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Yet a little while the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, brethren, is a renewal of what we did a few months ago during Holy Week. It's mostly re-celebration of Good Friday. This is Good Friday Happy. As we review and recall to mind our redemption and all that has come to us and to all the world from that happy event. Because it is liturgical, it renews everything. Remember, past, present, and future. And we will mention to you some of those things that are past, present, and future. This feast began in a real way when our Lord and Savior came on earth. And especially when he, at the end of his life, before he went to heaven, you recall that it says as he was going up to heaven, he blessed the people. And we believe, and that's what has always been believed, that he made the sign of the cross over them. As he was disappearing into the clouds. Now, our Lord and Savior, of course, always from all eternity, the Son of God looked forward to his cross, if we can say that, from eternity. And we know that he loved his cross especially as a man. If we believe we have been told that Saint Andrew, before he was crucified, kissed his cross. And you might remember the beautiful words he had said to his cross, how much he longed for it. If that is true of Saint Andrew, how much more true is it of our Lord and Savior that he kissed his cross and he loved just the sight of this instrument of love that he had looked forward to for so long to prove his love for each one of us and of his Father especially. It is also in the New Testament mentioned in the Apocalypse, because it says, St. John says, that he saw an angel ascending from where the sun rises. And he had the angel, the sign of Christ, the sign of God. And that is the cross. So the angel was carrying the cross, just as we know that Christ will carry it, bring it with him, his actual cross, the physical cross, when he comes at the end of time. We know that also. And so the early Christians loved the cross. Tertullian, who was the great theologian at the beginning of Christianity, St. Augustine calls him the theologian. And even though he, as far as we know, he did not die a Christian, he left the church. We won't explain what happened to him. But anyway, St. Augustine nevertheless calls him the theologian. And he says that Christians were called, their second name, so to speak, was called the followers of the cross, the cross lovers. And he says, we wear out our foreheads with the sign of the cross. We wear it out. He tells that Christians make the sign of the cross on their forehead all the time. This is, of course, before it became a fuller, larger cross on our body. And St. Augustine says that all things are blessed by the sign of the cross. And so for you and for me, this day is very special because, as you know, the cross, we say, we worship. That's relative worship. Partially because it's drenched in the blood of Christ, because it's the instrument of our salvation. The Son of God was, after all, attached to the cross in a very serious way. But also, we have mentioned too many years ago that the cross is eternal, because our Lord and Savior not only will return with his cross, but now in heaven, where the Mass is continually offered by Christ himself, And so the Son of God offers to his Father his passion and death as a proof of his love. This is what is taking place now, especially here in our chapel. We participate in this sacrifice of cross, sacrifice of Christ from heaven. We enter into heaven, or heaven comes down to earth. And so our sacrifice this morning is the sacrifice of Christ to his Father. It's the eternal sacrifice. We share it with everyone in heaven. And so he offers himself on the cross. This is where he died. He offers himself and his cross to his Father. And this will take place for eternity. So we can say that the cross has become part of the Blessed Trinity. It's the act of love of the three persons of God forever. And so this is why we say we worship the cross. And of course, it is special for you and me also, because this is our Mass here in our chapel. This is our cross. Our Mass is special, isn't it? How few people have our Mass. The Mass, as it has always been said from the time of the first Mass, and we have it here. So God has blessed us more than we can imagine. So for us, this should be a very special day, a renewal of Holy Week, participation in the sacrifice of heaven, and it's just for us. It's a reminder also, and this is what is meant to be, it is a reminder of the love of God. Because the Son of God brought down to earth his love for his Father, the Father's love for him and each of us. And so the cross is the reminder of how much God has loved us. We know we are repeating, but it bears repeating on a day like this, that the saints tell us that Christ, the Son of God, would have come down and he would have been crucified. He would have suffered and died just as he did for one soul. Now this is infinitely beyond reason. We don't say contrary to reason, but it is infinitely beyond it. We will never understand perfectly how it is possible that God could love us like this. Never. Even in heaven, when we will see the Blessed Trinity face to face, this will still be the greatest mystery, the Blessed Trinity and then the redemption. Why? How is this possible that God could love us who are less than nothing? We are less than nothing. Remember, we are evil. We have sinned. How is this possible? And our Blessed Mother loves us as God does. Another mystery. And so the Son of God, from the cross, redeemed all men, even those who have been lost or will be lost. He redeemed everyone. And it is believed by many that he was able to suffer so much on the cross and in his life that he repaired for all sins, every single sin that all would ever be committed. In his own mind, he thought of each of our sins and made up for them. Every single one of them. Some say that because he was God and man, that he was able to suffer infinitely. That's how much he suffered on the cross. Suffered more than all the sufferings of all men together. Because he was God and man. And he was so perfect. This reminds us of what our Father Superior talked about last Sunday about God's goodness being so self-diffusive. That he was willing to come to earth to redeem us. Our God, our infinitely perfect God. And so this is what we are told is the what it means when we make the sign of the cross. We start on our forehead, in our head, the name of the Father, because all things start with the Father eternally. The name of the Father, and all things come from the Father, especially the Son. The Son is begotten of the Father, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father. And so we say the name of the Father, and then we come down, because the Son of God came down to the womb of our Blessed Mother. And the Son comes, he is begotten of the Father, down to earth. And then we start with the left shoulder, and we go to the right shoulder, the Holy Ghost. And this shows that the Holy Ghost comes from the Father and the Son, and he completes the triangle. Holy Ghost unites the Father and the Son. And he shows from the left to the right on the cross to show that all grace comes to us from the cross, from the Holy Ghost. Goes from the left side of the curse to the right side of the blessing. And this is how we are forgiven, by the sign of the cross. Our saint, Saint Teresa of Avila, says that those who meditate on the passion of Christ throughout their life often will be saved, even if they're sinners. This is a sign of their predestination, she says. If you meditate often on the Passion of Christ. We are reminded by this act of God coming down to save us and his great love for us, which is beyond reason. We are reminded of this magnificent story that we have mentioned to you in the past, of the mother who comes out of her house, finds her son who's lying in the street dead. And she goes back into her house after some time. She finds in her own home the man who had just killed her son. And he says to her, "I am the man who killed your son." He says, "Save me. I am sorry for what I've done. Save me, please." And this woman hid him and saved his life, inspired by, we can say, the Father, who gave his own son for all of us, sacrificed his own son for you and me. We are reminded on this day not only of the love of Christ, but of his sufferings. And this is what one of the main purposes of this day is: meditation on the Passion. This is a day, as we said, renewal of Good Friday, renewal of the death of Christ. And we're reminded also that, especially on this day, not only did Christ, meaning on the day that Christ died, not only by his holy cross did he redeem the world so many years ago, but then, many years later, he saved the world again by his cross, as he had been doing, redeeming again and again through the deaths of his martyrs and his saints, through their crosses. So much so was he redeeming the world again, over and over, through their deaths, through their sufferings, their crosses. So much so that at the beginning of the 4th century, when the church finally did come out of hiding, so to speak, it was a world religion. The emperors had tried to destroy us. They had tried to wipe us off the face of the earth. They had put to death literally millions of Christians, tortured them to death. And at the beginning of the 4th century, when we came up to the surface, this Catholic Church was completely functional. It was spread throughout the entire known world, had unbelievable number of dioceses, churches, in the midst of 300 years of persecution. big, beautiful churches. And the emperors who had put those Christians to death admitted that they had lost the battle and that we had won. They actually admitted it, that all that they had done was in vain. And so, in the year 312, the Emperor Constantine, and we cannot tell the entire story, the Emperor Constantine, who was a Christian believer, he had not been baptized yet. He was baptized on his deathbed. But he was a believer. His mother was, as you recall, Saint Helen. And he was in basically what is now Germany. He was general in charge of an army there. And the Emperor Maxentius had declared war on him. This extremely evil man, cruel. Everyone in the empire hated him because of all the death and destruction that he had caused. And so Constantine came to meet the armies of Maxentius. And he started in what is now Germany. And he came down with his troops. And just before he reached Rome, it was on the 26th of October that this took place. He and his soldiers, and it was just after noon, he had just finished his prayers, his future Christian. And he and his soldiers were riding, and they all saw, all the soldiers that were with him, they all saw the cross in the sky. It was right above the sun, as if he was placed in the sun. And it came out of the sun, and it was very bright, the cross. And then that night, while he was sleeping, Christ came to him. And this is all written down in several accounts, eyewitness accounts. One of the most important accounts was written by the historian Eusebius, who says, this great historian, who says that everything was recounted to him by the Emperor Constantine himself. And there are several other accounts, eyewitness accounts of the soldiers, several of them, who gave testimony that they had seen the cross, just as the emperor had. And so even though this is called into question by many so-called historians, not only do we have several accounts of it, eyewitness accounts, but we also have Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, who lived at the same time, and even though he was not there, he says to us, not only did the Emperor Constantine take an oath that everything he was saying was true, but Saint Cyril says that everything that is written down about this event was true. He said, "Trust me." And so that night, Christ came to the emperor and he showed him his cross in which was written in the vertical part of the cross, "By this conquer." And he told the emperor to put the cross on his banner. "Make a banner," Christ told him. "And on the cross, on this banner, you put my cross in gold. And you put a gold crown on the cross. And put jewels. And also the Kyro." So that's the Greek first letters of Christ's name, Kyro. Basically, but it was in Greek, it was C-H-R. Christ told him to put that there also. And that the banner should go before the emperor. And so the emperor chose 50 of his best and most devout soldiers to take turns carrying the banner in front of the emperor himself. And then he had banners made for each legion in his army. So all these banners in gold. The banner itself was purple. How he was able to do this on the battlefield, we will never know. Because they did it. The Roman armies were amazing, what they accomplished. And then, we don't know if they did all of this before this battle, but on all of the helmets of the soldiers was the monogram of Christ in the form of a cross. And it was on their shields, on their helmets and on their shields. This was done, we don't know if every detail was done on this day, but this would have been on the 27th of October, because it was on this day that he met in battle these three armies. Constantine had one army. The three armies, we're going longer than we planned on going. The three armies of the emperor were the three best armies in the empire. All the most experienced soldiers. And they defeated them without great losses. Three armies against one. And that day, this Christian army entered Rome. And so, after this, and so you see that Christ, once again, showing that he had conquered hell, the devil, sin, all of these things. He had conquered the world by his cross, and he conquers it again by his cross, through the martyrs, through the emperor, Constantine. And right after this, very soon, his mother, Saint Helen, goes to the Holy Land, finds the true cross, which had been covered up by the Jews because they wanted the Christians to stop venerating Calvary. They covered up Calvary and the tomb of Christ, all covered up completely. So no one knew where Christ's cross or the other two crosses were, where the tomb was, or where Calvary was. They didn't know where Christ was crucified. They had hidden it. This is the trouble they went to. And so the Empress, St. Helen, found one of the Jews who was willing to tell her where everything was. This man, his name was Judas. He became a saint because of this great act. And he's called Saint Cyriacus. It's Judas. And you remember the story of her finding the true cross, not being sure which cross was that of Christ. And so they were inspired to allow the cross to perform a miracle. And they placed on these crosses a dead person, and he came back to life. And this is the story of the emperor and his sainted mother. We don't dare go much longer because we are already over time, even though we have many more things to say to you. But we will just say this one last thing, that in the year 335, we haven't told you all about what took place, because it has been mentioned to you on this feast so many times about what took place in the 7th century on this day. But in the year 335, this is now approximately 20 years after his great victory in Rome, Constantine had built on Calvary, over the spot where Christ was crucified and the tomb, because they were near each other, he had built a magnificent church covering these two holy places. And that church was dedicated on this day. And it is said that that was the day that Saint Helen discovered the true cross. And that's the reason they dedicated this great basilica on this day. And so we remind you, before we close, of what this day is all about. And that is a reminder of what God has done for each of us, because he died for each of us. So your prayer should be, draw me to yourself. Pray for what God desires of each of you, for each of you. And remember, he does not love you in theory. He loves you right here and now. He not only desires that each of you join him in heaven for eternity, but he desires right now for each of you holiness, that you would be just like these saints. So that's what you can pray for on this day, because he desires it for you now, not when you die and go to heaven, but holiness now, especially on this day, on the exaltation of our holy cross. May God bless you.